This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. You can now watch this program on Free Speech TV at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern every weekday. FSTV is available on Dish Network, DirecTV, and Roku. It was only a few decades ago that parents let their children, unattended, playing on the street outside their homes or in the park, walking to school or running errands. But today, particularly because of fears of child abduction and abuse, parents have become far more vigilant of their children. Either because of or in spite of this cultural change, crimes against children have dramatically dropped to where they are statistically negligible. Still, the fear and paranoia over children's safety remains, and it appears to have translated into moral judgments against parents who might leave their kids unattended even when safety is not an issue. There have been several cases in recent years of people calling the police on parents deemed to be negligent of their children, resulting in the kids being taken into state custody, or worse, the parents being incarcerated. Well, recently, researchers conducted a series of experiments based on fictitious scenarios of children being left alone and asked subjects to judge their danger. The researchers wanted to examine the question of, quote, why do bystanders call 911 when they see children playing in the parks, but not when they see children riding in cars, given that risks from car accidents far outweigh the risk of kidnapping. My guest is Ashley Thomas. She's a PhD student in the Cognitive Science Department at the University of California, Irvine. She's also co-author of the report entitled No Child Left Alone: Moral Judgments About Parents Affect Estimates of Risk to Children. Welcome to the program, Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first, let's talk about the backstory of this, the kind of cultural shift that we've seen before we get into how you designed your experiment. I mentioned that there have been these high-profile cases of parents being criminalized for letting their kids walk somewhere alone. I remember in particular the case of Deborah Harrell, the African-American mother, working at McDonald's, couldn't afford childcare, let her eight or nine-year-old child play in the park, walking distance from where she worked, and somebody called the cops on her. And this poor mother faced prison, years of prison. Was this the kind of story that prompted your research?
Yes, absolutely. That case in particular really stood out to me because even though people were talking about risks, it seemed like what was really driving those risk assessments were people's judgment of Deborah Harrell as a mother.
And so for that particular case with Deborah Harrell and her daughter, how much risk, now that you've sort of examined the real kind of dangers to kids, how much risk did her daughter really face from, you know, either accident or the real fear, the kidnapping and abuse fear?
Sure. So our study actually doesn't speak to the real risks to children, but in our research looking at crime rates or abduction rates, it does seem like the risk to her daughter was quite low. And in fact, if the police, for example, drove the daughter to the police station, they probably put her at greater risk doing that than she was when she was playing in the park.
Simply because the risk of car accidents is significant.
Exactly, yes.
Right. So there's also the case of these two parents, and this was a sort of a, I believe, middle-class family that let their children walk to a store or a park unattended. The cops were called, and the cops judged the parents pretty strictly and made them sign a statement saying that they would have a safety plan in place for the kids. And these were parents who I believe did it quite purposefully, not necessarily out of need, but because there is this growing kind of pushback against the hypervigilance of kids called the free range kids movement. That also was sort of a dramatic story of how parents are criminalized.
Yes, absolutely. And that was the case with the Matives, I believe.
Yes.
What was really interesting about that story is that at one point, I believe that the police officers took the children in custody, basically. And so the children were missing not because they were abducted by a stranger, but because the police removed them from the park.
So let's talk about your experiment specifically. You basically conducted 6 experiments. You wanted to examine not how parents would respond to their children, but how sort of non-parents or, you know, people would judge other parents. What were the fictitious scenarios or vignettes, as you call them in your experiment and your paper? What were these fictitious vignettes? You know, paint a picture for us for what you presented to your research subjects.
Sure. So someone might read a story, for example, about Lisa P., who's 31 and a postal worker, who has a daughter who's 6 years old. And she takes her daughter to the park to play after school. In one situation, the daughter runs ahead of her mother, and the mother gets hit by a car crossing the crosswalk. And nobody realizes that the mother has a child with her. And so the daughter doesn't see the accident and just goes to play in the park and doesn't notice that her mother's gone. So the child is basically left alone because the mother unintentionally does so. And then another participant might read exactly the same description, the same amount of time that the child's left alone, the same location, even the same age of the mother, except in this scenario, the child or the mother purposefully leaves the child alone. So maybe goes to work or goes to volunteer for charity, goes to the gym or goes to meet her lover because she's having an affair.
Hmm. And so what were the judgments and were the participants of the subjects of the research, were they given any information about the actual statistics or did you want to see how they responded just based on popular culture?
So they were not given any statistics. So we wanted to see what their just subjective risk assessments were. So they were asked how much danger is the child in from a scale on a scale from 1 to 10. And what we found is that when the mother left unintentionally, people judged the risk to the child as less. As they judged that the child was safer than when the mother left intentionally.
So the mother left. Just to clarify, you asked the participants sure. not to judge the parents. You just asked them
no.
what the risk was to the children, and they deemed the risk to the child less if the mother unintentionally left them and more if the mother intentionally left them, even though the children were in the exact same effective scenario.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Wow. What sort of numbers did you see? How did the statistics pay out? And you had like a number of different sort of series of vignettes, right?
Yes, exactly. So there were 5 different versions of children being left unattended. So there was a 10-month-old, a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 6-year-old, and an 8-year-old. And they were all left in different situations for different amounts of time. And then the 5 sort of reasons why the parent was gone is the unintentional one. So there was some kind of accident that took the mother away. There was going to volunteer for charity. There was going to the gym or doing something sort of relaxing. There was doing something for work. And then the last one was to go meet her lover, which she was having an affair with.
And did you find that people assessed risk much greater or most when it was a scenario where the mother left the child unattended because she was having an affair?
Yeah, so that increased the risk assessments a little bit, but it was significant. So it wasn't as great as the difference between unintentional and the 4 intentional conditions, but it did seem to bump up those risk assessments a little bit, yes.
Mm. Now, did you change the vignettes to ask judgments on fathers instead of mothers?
We did, and the overall pattern was very similar. The one difference that we found, which again, we would like to replicate before we really took too much stock into it. However, what we did find is that people treated the situation where the father went to go work as similar in terms of danger to the child as when he unintentionally left, which is interesting given sort of the traditional roles of mothers and fathers where fathers are sort of expected to care for children by providing money or going to work, whereas mothers are expected to sort of care for children.
Right. Did the responses change based on where the children were? I understand that you had scenarios where a child might be in a car versus at home versus in the park. Did people's assessment of risk change depending upon the location of the child who was left unattended?
Sure. Overall, people's assessments of risk were very high. So I think in each of those conditions, the average was about 8 out of 10. I believe that their assessments were a little bit lower for the 8-year-old left at Starbucks. But the effect was the same for each of the five types of vignettes we had. So in all cases, when the mother unintentionally leaves, it was deemed as safer than when she intentionally did.
Was there any correlation based on demographics of the parents, such as their age or income level?
So we didn't find any effects of age or income level that I can think of off the top of my head. But one thing to keep in mind is that we used Amazon Turk to collect this data. And so we didn't actually get that much variation in terms of income level or ethnicity or educational background.
Among the subjects of the study.
Exactly. So most people who participated had at least like a college degree.
Right. And just to note, Amazon Turk is basically a place that you can hire people to do what's called human intelligence work. So So rather than go out and get a random sampling, although, you know, it's always hard to completely randomize any sampling of subjects, you went to Amazon Turk, where chances are people have college degrees. So let's talk about the conclusions that you draw then. I mean, you have the real risks to children, which, as I mentioned, are statistically now insignificant. I mean, they're like 0.00000 something percent of a child being abducted while playing alone at the park, whereas the risk to a child just being driven by their parent in a car are significantly higher. And for some reason, we have a very skewed idea. We as a society seem to have a very skewed idea, as your study seems to show, of what the real risks are to children. Any sense of why we have such a skewed perspective on children's safety?
Sure. So in the paper, we talk about the availability bias, which is the idea that the easier it is to think of something, the more frequent you think it happens. So we think that for example, news coverage of child abductions are very easy for people to recall or to call to mind. And so this makes people overestimate how often that happens. But our paper also suggests that although that certainly seems to be playing into these risk assessments, that this norm change also affects people's risk assessments. So the moral judgments that people are making are also feeding back into this, these judgments about the actual risk.
And your subjects probably didn't realize they were making moral judgments of the parents, right? Because you didn't ask them to judge the parents. You asked them to judge the risk to the children. And they inflated the risk to the children in their mind based on some sort of unconscious bias against what the parents had done.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, we asked the participants what they thought the study was about. And very few of the participants guessed what we were studying, probably less than 5%. But a lot of participants thought that we were trying to educate people about how risky these situations were to children.
Right. How far off were their assessments, you know, reality versus someone's assessment, even say the lowest assessment of risk, were people's, you know, sense that a child was at risk so far out of the realm of reality that it was kind of shocking?
Well, our study really doesn't speak to that, unfortunately, because we just gave people a 1 to 10 scale. So we were just comparing people's judgments across these conditions, but it does seem like when people are saying 10 out of 10, it does seem to be quite inflated.
Right. And probably the real risk is something like 0.001 out of 10.
Right, exactly. So you would think 10 out of 10 would be like, you know, throwing your child outside of a moving car or something like that.
So what does this mean for society? I mean, I know that you're a scientist, so you might be very reluctant to sort of extrapolate this, but just from the way I framed this conversation, we seem to be living in a time when we're very paranoid about children's safety, which of course can't be good for children, because how do you raise your children to be independent if you protect their every move, if you are basically having them within some sort of adult supervision for every minute of their life?
Sure. I mean, I think our study doesn't speak to whether or not it's good for children to be alone. However, I do think it speaks to cases where parents are getting arrested, because it seems to show that even people who are judges or police officers might be prone to these biases. So even though we want laws to be based on facts, it does seem like parents are getting arrested because of moral judgments instead of facts. So I think that more than anything, our study speaks to that.
Right. And that's a really important point, because, of course, judges, police, juries are all subject to the same kinds of biases that the rest of us are. And so when it comes to judging a parent for these actions, it's based more on perception rather than actual statistics. There's this movement of free range children led by a mother named Lenore Skenazy, who has really kind of tried to change people's ideas of how risky it is to leave children alone. And some people have like called her a crazy person, a criminal person. They literally have called her she had earned the moniker of the most dangerous mother in America for letting her children play unattended. What are the follow-up studies that you're planning to do to kind of pin down some of these statistics a little bit more and hopefully try to change people's ideas of how real the risks are?
Sure. Yeah, great question. So we are really interested in this idea that people perceive people of different backgrounds to be better or worse parents. So that's on the docket, because we tried to sort of investigate that in this study, but we didn't do that great of a job, to be honest. So we're interested in investigating that question.
So in terms of, for example, the race of the parents and children involved and the income levels? Yes, of course. We know that poor parents of color are far more likely to be criminalized and have their children separated from them and taken into state custody than white middle class or upper middle class parents.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So we're interested in diving into that. We are also interested in how attitudes of parents, so how fearful parents are about abduction, et cetera, might affect how confident, say, a college student feels. When they are finally on their own for the first time, how confident do they feel just doing everyday things? So those are the two follow-up studies that are most pressing at the moment, we think.
Excellent. Well, I would certainly be interested in the results of those studies. It's really interesting to see particularly how children turn out when their parents and adults around them are hyper-vigilant rather than just letting them explore a little on their own. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we'll post a link to your study from our website later today. Ashley Thomas is a PhD student in the Cognitive Science Department at the University of California, Irvine, and she's the co-author of the report we've been discussing, No Child Left Alone: Moral Judgments About Parents Affect Estimates of Risk to Children. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.